Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. You're tuning into On Fire to Inspire with Jennifer Hain. We have a special guest tonight, Emily Thomas. I can't wait to have her on the show. I've actually been connecting with Emily through social media for a couple of months now, and to have her on in this new year is something I was very excited about. So we're going to bring her on in just a minute, but I wanted to give everybody a heads up of some other exciting interviews we have coming up the rest of the month. We have next week, we have Paola Presta, a TV host, who is the host of A Spoonful of Paola, bringing us an On Fire to Inspire episode on Monday the 19th. And then we also have a really cool interview. I'm actually going to be a guest on Mark Sefton's show, Talk Business. And if you remember, Mark was actually the last guest we had on Fire to Inspire. He was calling in from the UK, and he asked me to be on his Talk Business episode on the 21st. So I will make sure to keep everybody posted on that. You can also find that information on my website at jenniferleelifecoaching.com. So without further ado, like I said, I'm so excited to have Emily Thomas on the show. She does a lot of things. She is quite an inspiration because she's somebody who's surely living all of her passions. She is a freelance social media strategist. She is a writer, a blogger, and she currently contributes to a number of outlets. And I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about that. But one thing I'm really excited to talk about as well is she is a social media strategist for Still Motion's documentary. It's hashtag Stand With Me. And you may have seen this movement on social media. And I can't wait to have Emily talk to us a little bit about that today as well. Emily, thank you so much for coming on Fire to Inspire.
Hi, yeah, thank you so much for having me. Sorry, I'm actually in my car. But I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, I can hear you just fine, and I'm glad that you were able to call in tonight and give us a little bit of your time to share everything that you do and the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, so you just or what I did
so
with
you,
Stand
now
with
when you, well, you let me know that you're a contributor to the Huffington Post, and you do a lot of freelance work as well, so why don't you go ahead and just start at least with what you do as far as social media and who you work with in those outlets?
Yeah, so I am a social media strategist. So it's my job to kind of help companies and brands tell their story online. So I basically will, a lot of times I do just general consulting. So I will come in and kind of look at different companies and brands, their timeline, and see how they're using social media and kind of see what they want to accomplish with social media. And then I help them kind of build out a social strategy in order to connect with people online for their business. But in the meantime, I am currently, my main client is Still Motion, the people who made the documentary Stand With Me. And they are a film company that's based out of Portland, Oregon, and they've done a couple of documentary films, so it's been a really inspiring job for me to have because I'm able to connect with their audience through social media, and I've had some opportunities to kind of help them tell some of their stories, and it's been really awesome to be a part of that, so yeah.
And I've followed a little bit of the, when it's the hashtag Stand With Me and what it represents. And could you explain a little bit behind the concept of Stand With Me?
Yeah, so Stand With Me is a documentary of a 9-year-old girl named Vivian Haar. And she saw a photo of by Lisa Christine of two boys with rocks strapped to their backs. And she was really moved by this photo, and she realized that those two little boys could be her and her brother. And she was talking this over with her parents, and, you know, she said, I want to free 500 of these kids. And they were like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is such a crazy goal, but, you know, we like that she's inspired, and we want to help her. And so they asked her how she wanted to do it, and she said, you know, I'll sell my lemonade. And they're like, oh, my gosh, this is so, you know, this is so cute. I don't know if this will ever work out, but we, as parents, we want to throw all of our chips in on this one. So they did, and they made a stand for 365 days. And within the first 150 days of her selling lemonade, she wound up raising $150,000 to free 500 kids from slavery. So it tells her story. So it tells her story, and it tells a little bit about Fairtrade USA and the importance of just really knowing where your product from, and you know, that you're not buying anything that's made by child slaves. So yeah, it digs a little bit into that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just this idea that there's 30 million people that are still living their lives as slaves today. So yeah.
And that's what I was, the movement that it turned into was what caught me. I mean, just some, and that's kind of the blessing of social media now, especially, is making documentaries or what have you, but promoting them, or even putting a video online or on YouTube, and how quickly it can reach the amount of people that it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was crazy just to see how much a hashtag like Stand With Me or using social media was able to generate so much conversation about something that we honestly really don't talk about that much. So that was probably one of the most powerful things for me, was just seeing how much social media really has an impact on issues like slavery. So, yeah.
And now that's, you know, of course, one of the major pros about social media. And I know I had mentioned to you, I would love for you to just talk with your industry and your line of work. What would you say are some of the pros of social media? And then even for yourself, what are some of the cons that you encounter of being a social media strategist and people's perception on social media as well?
That's a really good question. So I would definitely say that some of the pros of social media are, it's really easy to connect with people, and it's really easy to reach people across the world. And you know, before we had these online platforms, it was really difficult to be able to really know and understand what's going on the other side of the world. And it's also made businesses very transparent. So it's very easy to see how people feel about certain products or movies instantly after they're released, which we didn't really have that luxury before social media was available. So that is something that I really like about it, is this ability to kind of reach people from around the world, and then it allows us to have, you know, kind of put a human face to businesses, where companies aren't just talking at us anymore. They're not just giving us advertisements and, you know, telling us what to buy and this and that, but we really have kind of a say in what it is that we want to see. And also it really allows people who have unique talents to kind of highlight those and share them with the world in a way that they weren't able to before. So, I mean, I know I have a lot of photographer friends who have been able to use Instagram and really kind of build out themselves as photographers and inspire the world through their photography, and a lot of writers who have been able to share their blog posts and stuff like that. So it's just been a really cool way for creatives also to share their work in a way that they weren't able to before. So, yeah.
And now, I mean, as far as the downside of social media, a lot of what I hear, I'm not sure about you, is just how, and this is true, where our society now is so focused on social media that it does consume you, and in some ways you feel that it's controlling you. But I kind of like to come to the defense. I get a little defensive when that happens, because we all ultimately can control how much we're consuming of something and who we're surrounding ourselves by on social media. What's your perception on that?
Totally. Yeah. So we are on our devices all the time. And I'm one of those people who is just, I'm always on my phone, and my phone dies like halfway through the day, because I'm always on it, and I always have all these notifications and all this stuff. So our generation is very consumed with being on social media and being connected all the time. And I would say that one of the cons is that I feel like real life connections and meetings can sometimes take the back burner to connecting on social media, and social media can't ever replace a face-to-face interaction with somebody, or it can't ever it can't ever replace having conversations with someone like I'm having with you on the phone. It's just hearing somebody's voice and being able to actually speak to them can't ever be replaced with, you know, with just using online resources. It definitely, conversations should only start online and relationships should start online or, you know, be enhanced by social media, but they should never consist, like exist only online. It should always be a way for people to kind of enhance their relationships or build new ones and take them offline eventually. So I would say that
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, you being that you, going back to what you first said about what you do when you work with businesses and individuals on giving brand feedback or helping them develop their social media brand, what is some, maybe some key tips that you would have without going, I mean, I don't want to make you go too in-depth, but when it comes to somebody representing themselves, not necessarily in person, like sitting down at a table and talking face-to-face about what they do, give us some tips for somebody who's maybe trying to represent themselves on social media as to how they can get started and truly bringing themselves out on those social media platforms.
Yeah, so there's a couple, without getting too into it, there are a couple of things that you can do that if you really want to convey yourself in a positive light or if you want people to connect with you, I'm a social media strategist, so I try to make that very well known in everything that I put online. So the first thing that I would definitely say is make sure that when you're setting up your profiles, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, that all of your bios are very well defined. Because I've met some really interesting people on the internet who I know are doing super cool stuff in real life, but then their bio says they're like a cat lover or something, like, you know, which isn't a bad thing. If you love cats, it's awesome. But if you want people to connect with you because you're a photographer or you're a writer, then you should really make sure that people know that in your bio, because sometimes that's like a person's deciding factor on whether or not they want to follow you or if they want to connect with you. So making sure that your bio is something that really represents you, and having a good photo of you so that people can actually see who you are and know who they're connecting with. I would say that that's one of the most important things.
What is your opinion? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. You're going to ask me a question.
When you said a good photo, that just kind of, I actually went through this a couple weeks ago, and I had put up a post about it just to hear people's feedback, because I've learned so many different ways, I guess, that you should carry yourself on social media. And what is your opinion of having a professional page and a personal page, or do you think that you should have just one and carry yourself consistently through that?
I think it really depends on what it is that you're trying to do with social media, which when I first started using social media, it was always, you know, my Twitter handle is Emmy Tom, so it's always been connected to my name. So I have kind of, my voice online is very positive and very inspirational, and if I ever stray away from something like that, it's very, not that people get upset with me, but they start asking me questions like, oh, is something wrong? Like, is it something changed? And so I realized that through building up my following online on social media that I've kind of branded myself in a certain way, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
So I have a consistent voice that people are expect. Like, not that I say that I can't ever change that, but I have a consistent voice that's familiar for people that they feel like they can connect with. So I think it really just depends on what you're trying to use social media for. If you want to be seen as a thought leader in your industry, then I would say make sure you have a professional page that you're sharing articles or you're connecting with people who could be potential business partners or clients. And then maybe keep some of your partying stuff or whatever it is you do in your personal life separate. Because I don't know, sometimes that stuff, not that I'm saying you shouldn't be yourself online, but it doesn't always take you in the the best light if you're trying to connect with people on a professional level. So.
Yeah, and I would perceptions, say, I mean, they are unfortunately formed pretty easily on social media. Depending, I mean, you can only really, you can't blame people necessarily for receiving you a certain way on social media when you're only, you're giving them what you're giving them, so.
Yeah, totally.
Now, can you talk to us a little bit about, you were also, or you are also the Director of Public Relations for the 5030 Rotary District. Can you explain to us a little bit about what you do with that?
Yeah, so I'm the public relations director, and I'm also on the public image team for Zone 25 and 26 for Rotary. And basically, I'm a kind of a public image coordinator, so I help Rotarians kind of same thing I do in my professional life. I help them convey their image online and tell their story online. And let people know the good things that Rotarians are doing around the world by sharing the stories and photos of all the volunteer work that they're doing and what its members are, how its members are giving back to the world.
Luckily been able to attend a Rotary meeting as one of the positions I held this past year. And so that's why I know what a Rotarian is and exactly what they do. But for the listeners, can you explain what a Rotarian is and what that organization represents?
Yeah, so Rotary International is a community service organization. It's also kind of, it's usually for business professionals. So Rotary meetings are sometimes held at lunch, and we have a speaker come in. I know that a couple weeks ago we had somebody from the Seattle Times, and we had an astronaut last week, which was really cool. Yeah, it was really awesome. I'm just talking about some inspiring things they're doing. But we spend a lot of our time doing service events, and Rotary's big project is the eradication of polio. So pretty much it's 99% wiped off the face of the earth. So this is actually a really cool time for Rotary because we're so close to eradicating polio. And the only other disease that I'm pretty sure that's been wiped off is smallpox. So it's pretty cool to be a part of Rotary at this time, everything that's going off of polio. So.
That's great. That's great. You definitely know you're surrounded then by a lot of humanitarians and philanthropists, and you're one yourself. So I want to switch gears a little bit more toward, aside from what you do professionally, just your personal philosophies on life, because I so much enjoy following you, and your outlook on life has definitely inspired me. And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about your inspiration and why you do have the perceptions that you do throughout your daily life?
So I wasn't always as positive as I am now. I definitely went through right after I graduated from high school. I wouldn't say that I was depressed at all. I've never really been at that point, but I wasn't getting what I wanted out of life. So I was just kind of going through the day-to-day motions. And life was cool, but it wasn't like I woke every day. I like woke up every day and I was excited about it, or really wanting to do something different, or really change myself and get the most out of my life. And it wasn't until I started reading a couple of books and I started volunteering and really changed the people that I was hanging out with that I saw how powerful it is to have a mindset, and that your mind is so powerful and you can change your life by changing your thoughts and your perception on things. So I just started sharing some of my own personal thoughts on this on Facebook, and I got a really positive response to that. Some of my friends were connecting with me and saying, you know, I look forward to your posts every single day. They make me think differently, and they make me look at the world differently. And that was when I really started using social media, because I thought it was so cool that I could touch people in this way, and I thought it was really powerful that I could use my words and my thoughts and my vision of life and help other people change their vision on their life and live a better life. So,
yeah, and you can definitely tell that you do that. For those of you who don't follow Emily on social media, Emily, they can just find you on Facebook under Emily Thomas, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then on, like we talked about Twitter, her Twitter handle is Emmy Toms, EmmyToms, as well as Instagram. And your posts really, you can tell that they naturally attract people. And I think that that's a really neat thing because you might not even feel like you're trying all that hard. And your photographs are really, I mean, I think you're really good at photography too, so you could maybe add that.
Oh, thank you.
and what I like about your photos is they're not even all that complex, but they just represent the beauty of life, which ties into your philosophy of loving life and appreciating the little things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you travel a lot.
I do, yeah. I mean, I get lucky because I live in the Pacific Northwest, so I feel like it's really easy to take beautiful photos here because it's so beautiful.
And what hometown are you from?
I'm from San Diego, but I went to college in Seattle, so I'm currently living in Seattle. So, yeah. But, yeah, I do travel quite a bit when I get to go and speak or if I go to different conferences and stuff like that, then I will get to travel for those. And I didn't really start doing – it's been such a whirlwind because I had just graduated from college about a year and a half ago, and just being able to travel and do all this stuff at this point in my life, I feel so incredibly blessed to do that because I know that traveling can be so expensive. So I just know how that having this opportunity has been – it's been really cool, so –
Now, where is college? Where did you go to college at?
I went to Seattle University. So.
Okay, and what was your major in social media there?
No, I wish that they had that. That would have been so cool. But my major was sociology, actually, and then which probably goes along with my lines of really liking to understand people and society. And then I had a minor in business, so yeah.
Okay. And when did you, for social media, when you decide, was it right after college that you decided you want to enter that industry and that was really where your strengths lied?
It wasn't really a decision for me. It wasn't really something where when I was in school, I was like, I'm going to pursue social media. It never really hit me like that. I just started using it while I was in school. It kind of became like a full-time job for me while I was still in school, and I know that sounds really weird because I wasn't getting paid for it in the beginning, but I was just networking a lot while I was in school, and I was writing while I was in school, and I started seeing other people who were making a living off of being social media strategists because they understood how to connect with people online and convey themselves online, and I thought to myself, well, I'm already doing that anyways, so it'd be really cool if I could continue that. But I never actually applied for a job. All the jobs that I got, I actually got them through Twitter. So actually that's how Still Motion reached out to me because they sent me a tweet, or I retweeted something of theirs because they followed a company called Sims, and they're based out of Seattle. And I retweeted something of theirs, and Still Motion saw my account, and I got contacted by Patrick Moreau, who is one of the founders of Still Motion. And he was like, you know, we really love the stuff that you put online, and we have a documentary film that we think you would love, and I really want you to watch it because I want you to be on my team. And this was like me first starting, and so I get this message and I'm just like, who is this person like being like, I want you on my team, like watch this movie. It freaked me out, and you know, my mom always told me, like, don't talk to these random people on the internet, and so I was just like, who is this guy?
But that, you know, but what, yeah, that is a huge, that's two things there is for the listeners too. I mean, that's another huge pro of social media is how you can network and really get yourself out there. And then The second thing is to be aware of that you never know who's looking at your profile, and that's why it is important to be a little concerned or at least aware of how you're coming across and what you're posting, because you never know who's going to see it, and I think that's awesome.
Totally, yeah. And so I reached out to him. I watched the movie, and I was just so moved by it, and I was just like, I don't know who you are, and this is so weird, but, you know, I'm all in on this. This is so cool. And then
that's
I've been working with them for about a year now, and that's actually how Ernesto Arguello found me. He lives in education model towns. He contacted me through Twitter, and I got to work with him for a little bit, and just got close.
And what's really neat is it ties in with, it's all inspirational things, but it's also your line of work. I think that's a huge blessing.
But that's something too, going back to what you were asking me before about conveying yourself online, and that's something
mm-hmm.
that I would really like to tell people, is that, you know, you attract what you put out there. So if you want things like that, then you need to be, I think so many times people want things in life and they just expect it to come to them, but it doesn't work like that. And you have to, if there's something that you want, like, you have to be putting that energy out there so that people see, like, oh, this person's a really positive and inspirational person, and she really cares about this. She's someone who I want to reach out to. So,
yes.
To think about, I guess, is that you attract what you reflect.
No, I love it. And that's, we have about 3 minutes left on the live show, but I have another question for you it's probably going to take us a little longer. So for those listening, the live show may get cut off, but you can catch the full show at jenniferleelifecoaching.com. And I want to at least get this. I think that you'd have some great advice. You mentioned earlier that you were going through the motions and you were not happy, and so you didn't always have the perspective that you had now. What's some advice that you have for those who, I think it's huge in our society now, especially our generation, where we do feel like we're going through the motions and we're almost trapped. So what's some advice you have for somebody who may be feeling that way?
I think that one of my biggest pieces of advice is just realizing that life is really, and this sounds so cliche, but life really is what you make it. And it really is what you want it to be. And that if you want something, or if you want to be happy, then you have to, it's a conscious effort every single day that you're choosing to be happy. It's not something that just naturally comes to you. And I think that there's this big misconception around the fact that people who are positive and happy are always happy, when in reality that isn't true. And
mm-hmm.
I think that people even think that with me sometimes, but I just tell them, like, I just don't let, like, my bad days take precedence over my good ones.
That's so true, because I battle with that as well, and because of my brand, as you know, like with all of the inspirational things, I have some horrible days and some really bad personal stuff that's happened. But you just kind of, you have to choose to look past it, and people don't realize that. They think that you have it easier, that you don't have to have that choice every day to push through the good things or the bad things and see the good. And that's a struggle a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah.
And
then
so,
also just
as
not
far
comparing
as,
your... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I think what you were going to say was perfect. So not comparing yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the second thing I was going to say.
Yeah. It's hard not to do, especially with social media, where people do have the liberty to kind of post exactly what they want. And so you can create that mold for yourself on social media. But I think it's just important for everyone to constantly be aware outside of that human being is leading their life outside of social media, and that stuff does happen. It's not all what's on social media, but to really be aware that everyone experiences their own struggle and has their own story.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
So, Emily, why don't you... We talked
yes?
a little bit about how people can connect with you on social media. Is that the best way for somebody to contact you if they were looking for you to help them strategize their social media outlet?
Yeah, just reaching out to me on Twitter, and then we can always carry the conversation offline. I'm very responsive online, so My Twitter handle is EmmyTomms, so EmmyTomms. Yeah, just sending me a tweet, and I'm really good about getting back to people, so that's probably one of the best ways to contact me, which doesn't seem like, you know, the easiest way, but I'm the most responsive in that way. So,
well, you are a social media strategist, so.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and for sharing a little bit of your tips and tools and talking a little bit more about what you do and how others can connect with you.
Totally. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And we'll hopefully have you back on the show again, maybe later toward the end of this year. For those who weren't maybe just tuning in now or didn't catch it, you can connect with Emily on her handle is EmmyTomms. And then you can also connect with her on Instagram there and on Facebook under Emily Thomas. Emily, have a great night.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That was Emily Thomas, freelance social media strategist, writer, and blogger, sharing a bit of inspiration with us. And I'm so glad she was able to come on Fire to Inspire. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, you can tune in next week to Paolo Presta, who's going to be joining us. I believe he's actually in Los Angeles right now, but he's always all over the place interviewing fun celebrities and doing a whole bunch of good stuff out there on A Spoonful of Paolo. So make sure you tune in next week, the 19th, and then you can also catch my interview with Mark Sesson, the mentor to entrepreneurs on Talk Business. I'll be sharing that at jenniferleelifecoaching.com. I hope you all have a great week.